Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Kaster. Alongside you, that IHOP hotline, well, it's open for you today. Chiefs fans, if you need to get something off your chest. K-State fans, if you need to get something off your chest at 869-1240, you can do it with us here on that IHOP hotline. And, well, IHOP hotline, IHOP's, they got all kinds of great stuff going right now. How about some loaded French toast? The Great Circle of Cinnamon, that's something. Secret Cookie Butter or Buried Treasure, if you want to get over to IHOP and check that out. We're more than happy to send you over there to do that. We appreciate them. Joining us on that IHOP hotline will be Wyatt Thompson. That is coming for you just in the next segment here with us. So you can join Wyatt Thompson with us about 9:15 or so. We'll talk about K-State's I'll be honest, very disappointing loss. At least it is for me, because it doesn't eliminate them officially, but it makes it really, really difficult. And it was right there in front of them, and it's a game, quite frankly, I think they should have won. Chiefs, Bills, should the Chiefs have beaten the Bills in Buffalo? Probably debatable. They'll certainly need to in the postseason, if that's what it comes down to, and it almost always does when those two teams play each other. So we'll get into that here off the top as well. Not all bad news. KU football goes to Provo and gets the big win over BYU. Sixth ranked, unbeaten BYU on the road. We know how difficult that's been for teams this year. Some might say BYU's luck has run out. But hey, KU gets it done. And we'll discuss this later in the show. Is this Jalen Daniels' biggest win as a college quarterback? Because I think it might be. He's kind of struggled against that upper tier competition. He did not. He looked good. KU looks good. They get the win over BYU on the leg of Jalen Daniels on a pooch punt, which was the biggest play of the game. So we got that. It's all available for us here to discuss. Tommy, though, we'd be remiss. Good morning, by the way, if we didn't start off with Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And, you know, I think that that's definitely the great place to start for sure, because I know we're going to get to Wyatt Thompson a little bit, later on in the program. But, the Chiefs in Buffalo, it panned out where we've seen this happen a lot during the regular season, where the Chiefs are just unable to get it done against the Bills.
Look, big picture means, you know, there's no like concern or anything like that. The Chiefs lose to the Bills all the time in the regular season, and then turn around and beat them in the postseason, right? That's been the MO. So you can quickly and easily look at that and know, like, no sign of panic, nothing there. But I think we all understand, and maybe this makes it easier, Tommy, to talk about the deficiency of this team, the glaring one, because they're not unbeaten and we don't have that. they're unbeaten, though, because they have a glaring need. And it's if they can't get better on the offensive line, I mean, 259 yards offense isn't going to cut it. You know, I think if they had it all over to do again, they would have run the ball more. I don't know why they didn't run it a little more than they did. I thought they should have. I think when they get Isaiah Pacheco back, it'll be even more necessary for this to be a team that tries to at least run it, Tommy, like 30 times a game. Because, I mean, you just can't drop back and throw the ball like that 33 times right now when Patrick Mahomes is under siege all the time.
Yeah, and I think that really with the offensive line, I mean, that's something that we've been talking about for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, you know, just that, you know, that really because we've got that glaring need, as you mentioned, they've just had a really hard time addressing that. And I know on the interior line, I know that that's something that from the running back perspective has been better, at least on the ends of the line at both left tackle and even right tackle, for that matter. But they weren't able to get the run game really established at that point. Ultimately, that cost them. They had to throw the ball more. They had to throw it quickly because Patrick Mahomes, again, didn't have much time in the pocket. It's a glaring need. It absolutely is.
And I don't know what they can do. So Kingsley Suamataia was a healthy scratch, basically, which means anything is better, which I don't mean to be so blunt about it. I'm not in any way giving up on him as the player. But I'll tell you this, it was the right decision. He was unusable based on what we saw against Denver. Unusable. So now they're settled in. We'll see what they do with some depth, another undrafted rookie in there. And Wanya Morris played, but not well. He's better than Kingsley Suamataia, but not, by a long shot.
Not by much.
And so I know, he just looks lost, and they've got to have two or three guys over there helping him. And there was a point late in the game where you've got, potentially two, three pass catchers that you can't utilize because they've got to get over there and help him. And Juwan Taylor, by the way, also isn't a superstar. And so you have this issue right now for the Chiefs. And the only thing I can think of to remedy it is to run the ball a ton. They had a quick strike passing offense yesterday. They've got Juju Smith-Schuster back. So now between Juju and Kelsey and Hopkins, and they even utilized Xavier Worthy this way, which was nice to see. Quick strike, quick strike, quick strike. Like that has to be what it is. And I think Tommy, and it's okay. By the way, I would still pick the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. But I just like, and I've been trying to get this across without, because they're unbeaten and what are you going to do? This is a team that has a big problem. Like I imagine this team right now playing, Buffalo again, quite frankly. Imagine them playing the Chargers again with the pass rush they can bring to the table. Imagine them playing Pittsburgh with the pass rush they can bring to the table. Like, imagine some of these real, like, contending teams that they could potentially match up with the postseason. And it's like, that's going to be tough.
Isn't because it? I think it's, most concerning to me, the fact that the Bills were able to get a ton of pressure on Mahomes. In fact, they pressured him 37% of the time, but they hardly blitzed him. Like, that's the recipe for success, I think, against Kansas City, because we know historically the way that Patrick Mahomes can pick up a blitz and, pick it apart. It's not unlike Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, at least in that regard, are cut from the same cloth, where they can absolutely kill you against the blitz. The Bills didn't have to blitz him, but they were still able to get a higher rate of pressure on him than the Chiefs were able to get on Josh Allen. And that was, I think, ultimately the deciding factor in the game. Josh Allen had quite a bit more time. He had quite a bit more freedom. He wasn't as rushed. It wasn't like the Chiefs were able to get much pass rush on him. So I think that it's kind of, we're kind of looking at two different things that are glaring, at least in my mind. Obviously, offensive line has been, continues to be an issue. But then it's also just the lack of pass rush on the defensive side for Kansas City. That's been glaring as well. And they've, I think Spagnuolo felt like he had to bring blitz, and then Josh Allen can just carve you up that way. So there are two, in my mind, pretty glaring issues, and they're both kind of interconnected, because when you watch the way that Josh Allen performed against the lack of pass rush for Kansas City's defense, and then you see the way that Mahomes was hurried without the Bills even having to bring blitz, to me, it was like night and day difference between the two teams.
It is. And look, they went to Buffalo in a game I didn't think they were going to win anyway, and they lost because Josh Allen made a Superman play at the end of the game. Like, that's fine. Like, that's all okay and means nothing, honestly. Well, I shouldn't say it means nothing. Buffalo's only a game behind the Chiefs in the, in the standings now, the game in hand. So it does, could mean something. But as far as like, can the Chiefs not be? No, look, they were in a game that they quite frankly didn't play very well. One of their worst defensive games of the year, far from their best offensive game of the year. They almost had a chance to go tie the game on a game winning drive. Josh Allen made a crazy good play like Josh Allen does and put it away. Good for Josh Allen, good for the Bills. So we're micromanaging here, for sure. right? The Chiefs are still.
I don't think they're we're not micromanaging. The odds are, I don't think they're it's not a micromanaging.
No, what I'm saying, what I don't want, because sometimes the Chiefs kingdom can get a little defensive over the years here. And I get why, right? They don't give you a lot of reason to ever doubt them. But I do think you can call out the doubts. And right now there is a major, major, major problem on this team that doesn't translate well into the postseason. So what can they do between now and then to fix it? Well, they can't really do anything to the roster, or they already would have. So it's going to take some creativity, and they have a lot of time to figure this out. A lot of time to figure this out. I think you start by running the ball 25 to 30 times a game. That gets way easier with Isaiah Pacheco, right? Kareem Hunt's been consistent. He's not been explosive. Isaiah Pacheco will add explosion back to the run game. That will be very helpful. And I think you can utilize those two guys. And until a team turns you away, too many times, Tommy, yesterday, it's a first down run of 4 yards and then two passes. Too many times yesterday. That should be a first down run of 4 yards, a second down run of 4 yards, and maybe a third down run of 4 yards sometimes, or a third and two, right? So all of these things, and I would bet you money they do that too, because they just, there's nothing else they can do. It is so bad at left tackle.
Maybe you're right about that. Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach, but one of the things that has always frustrated the crap out of me with Andy Reid is that the guy is probably the most stubborn coach that I've ever seen. Like, he's going to do what he's going to do, and they should have honestly been running the ball 30 times a game weeks ago.
Were they though?
Until
the Denver game, yeah. If you go back and you look at the carries for Kareem Hunt, here's what Kareem Hunt, starting on October 7th, right? Here's his carry load, 27, 22, 21, 27. So yeah, they were getting close, and then Carson Steele would have a couple and Patrick Mahomes would have a couple. But for some reason, in the last two games against Denver and Buffalo, it was 14 and 14. That's what I can't figure out. I don't know why they're doing
it. Did you watch the way that, you know, the interior offensive line blocked for Kareem Hunt in the game yesterday and in the game against Denver? He wasn't getting much. And I think that's been a new development in the last couple of weeks where
we agree with that. Yesterday he was really? Over 4 yards a carry. Yeah.
There were a couple of runs that he looked really good on.
Yeah, he had his one big run.
But there were also some runs where he was bottled up pretty quickly. And it really was like all Kareem Hunt, like his second effort to be able to do anything. That's a new development in my mind from the last few weeks to now, at least beginning with the Denver game, is that all of the attention has been on left tackle, rightfully so. Honestly, I don't think that the interior offensive line has played particularly well in the last couple of weeks. I don't think Juwan Taylor played well yesterday at all. And
but he never plays very well.
But to his credit, we hadn't heard his name called a whole lot over the course of the season, which is good. Like, that's better than what it had been a season ago. Like, I'd rather him just, like, you never hear his name. We heard his correct. Name all the time last yeah. season, but he didn't have a good game yesterday.
Maybe he hasn't been offsides every play. Right. But I'm going to tell you right now, if left tackle wasn't so bad, we'd be talking about right tackle being sure. pretty bad. But, you know, like that's
I just think the offensive line as a whole has been a big issue the last couple of weeks.
I'll give you this. Yesterday was certainly not the interior's best game, but that doesn't mean they can't. The game was close enough where they need to be running them. But you can't have the opposition have 10 more minutes of possession the Chiefs are currently constructed.
Where I will agree with you on that is that they weren't able to sustain drives hardly at all. I mean, the Chiefs had, they have 8 or 9 offensive possessions in the game. So when that's happening, and then, of course, like one of them is the very first drive of the game and Mahomes throws an interception, the very first pass that he throws in the game, like your margin of error gets that much slimmer when you're not possessing the ball. And that was something that Buffalo did a much better job at than Kansas City.
Wyatt Thompson's going to join us next, and we appreciate Wyatt hanging tight. I'll pose this, and we'll come back to the Chiefs in just in a couple of segments here. And this isn't anything, as you brought this up and it made me just wonder, it's almost like, because Andy Reid has run the ball a lot the last 2 years. It's un-Andy Reid-like, right? The last two games, there has been a slight sense of desperation offensively, and I think it's because of the opposing defenses and what they were doing. But that almost makes me wonder if it's like, is this Chiefs offense, when they get into a sort of panic like that, going to defer to wacky and creative passing plays? Maybe so. But we'll pose that now. When we come back, we're going to get to some K-State football. That was a disappointing performance in Manhattan on Saturday. We'll get through it all with Wyatt Thompson. Any hope remaining of a playoff now? I'm sure there is some mathematical hope, but we'll try to look at realistic hope. Wyatt Thompson joins us when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. It's a Monday. It's a reaction Monday, and we're just getting started. We'll be right back.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Mornings at KFH, staff always enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate them continuing to keep us all fueled up. All right, let's bring in Wyatt Thompson here, voice of the K-State Wildcats, for his visit with us, as he does every week. We always appreciate it. Wyatt, we'll start with, you know, just dadgummit. Dad stinking gummit. That was a game K-State could have won. I'm not going to say they should have won it based on the way they played.
Right.
They should have won it based on what we know about this team. Now we've got back-to-back losses and, you know, as much adversity as you could have imagined for this team going into the year.
Probably one of the most frustrating three-day stretches that I've had in a while with K-State Athletics, with the basketball loss to LSU and then the football game on Saturday. And I think the fans are, and rightfully so, truly down and disappointed, frustrated, whatever you want to say. It was not a good football performance in any way. And I think that's what really hurts. I've heard a lot of people say, and I get it. How can you play a game like that after a bye week? And they just didn't, they started slowly, made a mistake early, down 7-0. Now you're down 21-0 and 24-0. And it's just an uphill fight the whole way. You had trouble moving the ball and being consistent offensively. Just a really, really, frankly, a horrible game in special teams. Your defense struggled from time to time. Just not what you want this late in the year with so much on the line, honestly. Really disappointing.
It's interesting, Wyatt, because, you know, going into the game, when we found out that Cam Scadabo is going to play for Arizona State, I thought, okay, well, he's going to obviously be the focal point of their offense. And, of course, he's a threat on the field. But it was Sam Levitt and what he did throwing the football, especially against the secondary of Kansas State. What do you attribute that to? Was that scouting from Arizona State, realizing that maybe they didn't need to lean quite as much on Scadabo and that Levitt could find some success in throwing the football?
Well, to be honest with you, but this is the reality of it, okay? And I think I may have mentioned this last week on your show, but maybe not. I do a lot of these, and I remember saying in a couple of them, please value their quarterback.
Yeah.
This dude can play. He was a highly rated player. Didn't work out for him in his first stop. It was a great pickup for them at Arizona State. And I was talking to my counterpart before the game, and I said, so was Sims the guy in the preseason, and he just beat him out? And he goes, no. He said he was going to be the guy all along. You could just see it and feel it. He's really a talented player. He's fit in well to their system, just gives them another option. In this league, if you look at the teams towards the top, you've got guys that are legitimate dual threat guys. And he's, I believe, I don't think I'm overstating this in any way. If you look at what they've done, and I think it's 5 of 6 now that they've won, he's a major, major part why. The one game they've lost in that stretch, I don't think you'll be surprised when I tell you this, he didn't play at Cincinnati because of a rib injury. They are cooking right now, and they have two good coordinators and a dynamic young coach. I don't know if you heard Coach Kleiman say this after the game, and I know it's easy to be complimentary of the opposition when you get your butt kicked, but he said that guy's a budding star, and he probably is right. I thought they were better than K-State in every way Saturday night, right or wrong. They just were.
And yet K-State, you know, had an outside chance,
yes,
oddly, at the end of the game. So I don't even know what to make of that. You mentioned dual threat quarterbacks. Levitt's a great young one. So is Avery Johnson, but it sure doesn't seem Wyatt like dual threat is a part of his game right now. It goes back to that injury, I know, at Colorado. But, man, that is really limited, I think, the explosiveness of this offense, not to have that threat of him taken off.
Well, I don't think these teams that K-State is playing respect the fact that he's going to run. I just don't. And I think they all understand that he's dinged up. And so you can kind of gang up on the line of scrimmage. On top of that, you have a game where there's no Jaden Jackson. Keegan Johnson tweaks a hamstring in pregame is what I'm now hearing, and he didn't play in the game. K-State probably, in all honesty, hasn't been good enough at the receiver position most of the year anyway. And now you're just short on everything. And then you can, I know there's a lot of fans that will talk about the play calling and, you know, all of that too. It's probably somewhat of a factor also. So there's a lot on the table. I know there's a lot of speculation out there, you know, about, you know, what's going on and what have you. And that's what happens when you don't play well. And frankly, K-State hasn't played very well here of late, for sure.
I was really surprised. I think most everybody was with the slow start for Kansas State. I mean, before mm-hmm. you knew it, it was 24-0. And that was, you know, obviously that is an extremely difficult hole to climb out of. You know, credit to Kansas State because they pulled it, you know, back within a respectable margin and made it a game and made it competitive when it looked like it was going to be difficult for them to do so. But is there anything that you can point to, or maybe it's a variety of things, Wyatt, that contribute in your mind to just this slow start out of the gate for Kansas State?
I don't know that I have any quality answers for you, Tommy, to be real honest. I've always been one of those kind of guys that I try to look at, even though everybody knows I'm K-State through and through, I try to look at games as fairly as possible, be fair to the opposition on the air and those types of things. And because of the early mistake with the tip ball and they score on a 3rd-and-11 play that probably the beneficiary, you know, of extending that and not holding them to 3 because of a call that doesn't go your way. But that happens, right? You still have to overcome some of that stuff. But my point is this. Once they scored and then got up 14-0, you could just sense it that it's like, uh-oh, this isn't going well. And we've not started well in games that much either lately. So there's a lot on the table here, and that's why it's so frustrating, because I think you guys will agree with this. K-State is a much better football team than they're playing right now. But, I mean, just go down the list. You know, you have the quarterback scenario. Everybody's the offensive line is probably not playing anywhere in the hemisphere of what they did early in terms of just toughness, physicality, quality work. They've been a little bit deficient in the receiving core of things. They've been hurt in the pass game by almost everybody that's pretty good at throwing the ball. Am I being too harsh, or is that?
No.
And then the special teams too. I mean, all of those things are reality.
So here's what I wonder, because and it's, there's still games to play and there's still going to be a bowl game. There's all these things, and it's not out of the picture in the Big 12. All of those things. But I would wonder this, how much emphasis, because I'm putting a ton, and maybe I'm putting too much on what they look like against Cincinnati in a bounce back, because the reality is, as much expectation and all the things we put on this season, they're going to return a ton most likely next year, right? Like, they're going to be, as long as things don't unravel, they'll probably be the favorite to win the Big 12 next year, or at least one of the top three again. So do we need to be paying attention to the locker room, the attitude in a game, in a bounce back opportunity back at home against Cincinnati, to just sort of make everybody feel like, okay, everything's fine. Look, they're not going to win the national championship this year. Great. We're through that. But boy, they're going to be right back in the mix next year, as long as things don't unravel. And I just wonder, is there any fear of unraveling? Are we anywhere near that?
Another great question. I don't know if I necessarily have a great answer for you at this point, Jacob, because I think what I would tell you is I think Coach Klieman still very much likes the leadership of this group and the makeup of the team. Do they have, like, you know, an easy stand-up Colin Klein kind of leader? No, probably not. As far as the expectations, I would tell you that they were exceptionally high, and maybe too high when the season began because of Avery and Dylan and DJ and all of those guys and all of that. But I do remember saying to fans, you know, in the springtime on the Capbacker tour and what have you, as excited as you are now, I think we're even going to be better in 2025. But they, you know, they don't want to hear that, and I get it. But all of the really young guys on this team, and you could start naming them all, but just defensively, those guys we talked about early, like the Ryan Davises and the Jordan Allens and those types of guys, this year will help them going into next. But that doesn't necessarily help you today. I think a lot of those guys are starting to play better. Zayshon Rich comes to mind. He wasn't even, in my mind at least, somebody that was going to be any kind of factor. And he's not been perfect, but you can see he's got really good skill, and they need cornerback help moving forward. So I do think I'm still excited about, you know, what lies ahead with this group and, you know, into next year and the year after that, just because of the way they've recruited. And they've continued to do well with that. But you're going through a tough stretch here, and there's a lot of sometimes when it's not going well, there are a lot of factors why. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about here. 100%.
I want to ask you, Wyatt, about Chris Klieman, that press conference or the comments after the game.
Yeah.
He was extremely emotional. I mean, that's a game that, you know, deflating, disappointing, all the different things that we've talked about. You know, clearly it's a tough time for the team. It seems like it's a tough time for him right now. That, to me, that was rough to watch. That was a rough time for me to watch him answer those questions. And I don't know if, like, unraveling is the right word, because I think that they've got more resolve than that. But it definitely, I think, is going to be, you know, tough to – I mean, you've got to kind of pull yourself up from the bootstraps and get that going. That was tough. That was tough for me to watch. I don't know what your reaction was to that.
Well, I can't necessarily say everything here, and I know you'll respect that, Tommy,
yep.
But the last couple of weeks for Coach has been exceptionally difficult because of a family thing. It's been quite emotional for he and his family. I think he, in the presser the other night, he didn't get quite as emotional with us, but I think right after that he goes to the press conference and, you know, probably going to get more questions there and what have you, and he did become emotional about it. But the emotion wasn't with the family issue as much as it was that he felt like he let those guys, meaning those veteran leadership guys, the Austin Moores, the Brendan Monts, those types of guys, down just because of all the things that have happened. And maybe, you know, he wasn't around every second like he could have been through the bye week and last week's game week. It's just what it is. And I get the emotion because I kind of know what's going on, but it's hard. I mean, you saw it in his face. He was hurting. And I think it shows you how much he cares, not only about Kansas State and Kansas State football, but even way more about those young guys.
And that makes sense. And look, all they can do is win the next two. And they'll get Farmageddon, which will always be emotional. They got a nice bounce back opportunity in primetime against Cincinnati, which, you know, maybe that'll cure what ails them. We'll see. They're going to play a nice bowl game. And we'll see what happens in the rest of the Big 12. Big 12's wild right now. We'll talk about KU's big win against BYU a little later. And heck, Arizona State might be playing in a Big 12 championship game. So they're no slouches. They're pretty good.
Well, you said a lot there. And I think at the end of the day, Stan and I talked about this last week a couple of times and then on the show. All you had to do was look at the KU-BYU game going into that to tell you what this league is all about. BYU's 9-0, ranked whatever they were, sixth in the CFP. KU was 3-6. What was the spread? 3.
Right, yeah.
I mean, seriously? 3. So everybody knows KU hasn't played to their standard, except here lately, right? Nobody saw Arizona State being 8-2. No one. But they had 60 new players. They had a quarterback that nobody knew anything about. Everybody talks about, well, there's been surprises. Well, there's reasons for all of those surprises, good, bad, and indifferent. You know, Oklahoma State hasn't played anywhere near what everybody thought they were going to. Neither is Utah. But with that, you have the BYUs and the Arizona States that are pretty good stories. It's what makes it. I know it makes them for some frustration sometimes too for some of us, but that's what makes the league good. I guess I'll get on my soapbox here a little bit. I wish I could change this, and I know I can't because perception is everything, but I think it's really unique that way that you sit there and nobody talks about this league playing 9 times, 5 of those on the road for K-State as opposed to 4. There's not really anything fair about that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then you have the SEC where they were playing teams like Mercer and New Mexico State and those kind of teams. And the perception and what all of those talking heads talk about matters when it comes to the selection part process. Thanks for letting me vent and getting that off my chest.
Well, you mentioned
it is what it is.
You mentioned at the top.
I'm just telling you, it is what it is.
You mentioned at the top, Wyatt, about how it's been a frustrating 3 or 4 day stretch. You know, even talking about the basketball team, LSU comes into Bramlage and they pretty roundly beat the Wildcats. And you know what? It was something that even early on, you could tell that LSU was kind of in the zone, like they were knocking down the shots and all of that. And again, it was really difficult for Kansas State to get back into the game after halftime. What were some big takeaways from you in that win from LSU?
You know, I think the bottom line is this, and it hurts to say this, but I think it is so. LSU was ready for the fight, and they really, I mean, you could tell from the opening tap that it was important to them. And yeah, their frontline guys played well. Couple of other guys off the bench who hadn't done a lot really excelled. But K-State didn't play well in really any phase, in my opinion. And it raises certainly some points about now what, right? Because you've got the game tomorrow night against, a poor team in Mississippi Valley State, and then they'll leave the next day and head to the Virgin Islands for the Paradise Jam, and there'll be a couple of tests there for sure. I'm anxious to see, even though I won't be with them because of football, what that trip will be like and what this team is going to look like 4 games from now. Because it's pretty obvious they need to get some things kind of headed in the right direction.
I'll give you a glass half full take on that, Wyatt.
Yeah.
There was a 16-2 run.
Yep.
And what is that difference? 14 points. They lost the game by 11.
That's it.
You handle that run a little better, and they were better the rest of the game. Yep. So.
And you also can't just get crushed on the boards like that either.
No. That's the thing that is the most concerning. But I think in a game where they got crushed on the boards, one run was the difference in the game. So,
absolutely.
As somebody who's pretty optimistic on this group and how they all fit together, I'm not overly concerned about it yet.
Yeah. Again, maybe I'm a little more critical than I would be normally just with the football loss and what have you, because it stings so much. But, you know, I think the frustrating part for the fans was just what I was trying to convey.
The fight
was better for LSU.
Yep.
And when you're at home like that, it's going to happen occasionally, but it shouldn't happen very often. And I still like the makeup of this group. I think they're well coached. They have to find another gear.
It's a hustle stat. Yeah, no, I get
absolutely
it.
True.
Yeah. And they may be, you know, they may be undersized if Coleman Hawkins isn't this dominant force. I guess that's, you know, those are the things to watch. And we'll see if they play tomorrow night. You'll have them here with us on KFH. I don't know how you guys are going to handle all this. You've got Cincinnati this weekend.
Yeah.
You'll hear all of it on KFH, but it is that time of year where things get wild.
Very much so, because the basketball team will play tomorrow night and then leave Wednesday, play Friday in the Virgin Islands, play a couple of times over the weekend and into next week, and then be back for Thanksgiving. And next week at this time, we'll be talking about Friday after Thanksgiving, flying to Des Moines and playing Iowa State. So this is kind of the back end of the crossover season, or almost the back end, still a little ways to go yet, but it does get a little wild. I've got Don Free coming over with some extra gear just so I can do my radio show on Wednesday night with Coach Kleiman, because my gear will go with the basketball team of the Virgin Islands. So a lot of things to make sure. You can't show up and do a radio show without any gear.
That's right. You guys will have it covered, and we'll hear it all right here on KFH. Wyatt, we appreciate it. It's going to be a better week this week.
I'm totally with you. And you know what? Sun does come up occasionally, although it's raining like crazy here now.
Down here, too.
It'll be okay. And yeah. We just got to keep grinding.
There you go. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Always appreciate those visits. Wyatt, have good calls this week, and tell the crew travel safe.
You guys are great. Appreciate you. Thanks so much.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. Missed any of it, go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app, as you always can. There's a lot to cover, and I love it. My favorite things about Wyatt Thompson, he doesn't pull punches, and they didn't need any punches pulled. It was a bad week in Manhattan. Bad week. Loss at home for the basketball team. Really disappointing loss for the football team. We can discuss further. The IHOP hotline back open for you at 869-1240. When we come back, we've got more with the Chiefs, of course. We got to get to KU's win in Provo. Tommy, hold me to this tomorrow. You just sent me something. The Big 12 media rights kind of in the news this morning. TNT getting involved, taking some ESPN games. That will be, I think, great news for the conference. It adds another player to the game. We know that Turner and TNT love basketball. I think big picture, you think about a separate basketball deal for the Big 12. Hold me to that tomorrow. We won't have time today, but hold me to that. We'll get into that tomorrow. Tommy, real quick, KU's win against BYU. I am so proud of them for continuing to play strong. I thought they were going to win that game. I told you that. I picked them. If you'd have told me it was 17-13, I probably would have had a little more concern. And it did come on a fluky play, you know, but they took advantage and they did something they haven't really done all year. And that's close a team out late, and they made the big plays late to get it done.
Yeah, it was different than what we've seen from the Jayhawks this entire season. I had a feeling that if the Jayhawks were going to win the game, they were going to have to muddy the water and really be able to hold to that for an entire four quarters. And they were basically able to do that, because I feel like there is – BYU does have that explosive component. They can put – points up very, very quickly, and Kansas can as well. I just didn't think that really the Jayhawks would want to get into a track meet with the Cougars, and if they could muddy the game up, they would have a good shot at winning the game. And you know, to their credit, they did that.
They did. But look, they were outgained through the air, on the ground. They only had 240 yards of offense. Jalen Daniels didn't have any touchdowns throwing. Devin Neal was, you know, he scored the touchdowns, but he wasn't that effective in the game. They found a way to win the game, right? Like that's, yeah. And you know, everything else, who cares? But what's so great about it is they've been on the other side of that so many dang times this year that they finally got on the right side when it just happened to be against that team that was unbeaten and that environment. That's great. We were talking to Wyatt Thompson about, yeah, this sucks this year, but next year's really the year for K-State, right? That's kind of the year. All these young players that are having to play this year are going to be now upperclassmen. It does stink that it's the opposite for KU. This is the year for KU. So I hope they finish strong. I hope they get to a bowl game. I hope they, you know, wreck the world and keep playing this way. I think they will. I still don't know if I think they'll beat Colorado, but I think they'll play them well. And that's good because they have reinvigorated watching them, I think, again this year, Tommy. They're watchable again, and you know you're not going to, you know, throw your TV through, or throw your remote through the window.
Well, the best offensive drive for Kansas was the very first one of the entire game. I mean, they pushed the ball down the field, got into the end zone, and like, okay, well, this is something that they can continue. And we've seen Kansas do this basically every game. They get off to a really good start, and then they have a hard time closing out. And then really both defenses settled in. I thought that the Kansas defense did a really good job on Jake Retzlaff. I thought they contained him really, really well. And you know what? Even though it wasn't just this explosive offensive juggernaut from the Jayhawks. I thought Luke Grimm played a great game for the Jayhawks.
He's going to be a good pro.
100%. He's really, really good. And you know, Jalen Daniels needed him. And the Jayhawks did enough to where they were able to get the win, but it was a different formula than what we've seen basically this entire season, where it was like hanging on for dear life. They made the big plays. They completed them. And then they forced BYU to basically not do what they wanted to do. And it worked out well for them.
For all the things that have gone wrong for them this year, they were owed that one by the fate. You know, they were owed that kind of pooch kick off the helmet, recover a ball. I mean, there was so much like karma built up in that play. It was, once that play happens, like, they're winning this game.
And by
like,
the way, I mean, I'm super happy, you know, for the Jayhawks to win the game. The Big 12 is a mess. The Big 12 is absolutely a mess. And I think it's going to hurt them come playoff time. The conference
is only getting one team in. They're only getting one team in. But I think Colorado is real good, and I think Arizona State's probably very good. You know, you take that Cincinnati game when they didn't have their quarterback out, we'd be having an entirely different conversation. I don't know how good I think BYU actually is because they've been very fortunate this year. But we all thought they were only getting one team in anyway. When the season started, that's what's going to happen. They're only going to get one team in. Which team is it? I have no idea. I think Colorado. KU might beat them. This is going to be fun to watch. We'll get more into it. When we come back, though, we'll go back to the Chiefs. What do we need to do here, Chiefs fans? Not panic. Don't care. Nothing. No problem. No look here. Nothing to see. Or do we need to try and solve some things? We'll look around the NFL as well. It's a big money-making Sunday. I had a good Sunday. I hope everybody else did. There was a lot to make money with if you're into player props and those kinds of things. So hopefully you did. We'll talk about it all when we come back. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. We'll give away some HTO in hour number two as well. Stick with us. Thanks to Max Power, by the way, for stepping in to produce today.